It may feel strange at first, and you may not like the way it looks.
But the CDC says, do it anyway. Wear a cloth mask if you're out in public.
Of course, you'll probably have to make your own. I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro.
And I'm Scott Simon, and this is Up First from NPR News.
The federal guidance comes after state and local leaders made similar recommendations, governors and mayors from Los Angeles to Richmond, Virginia. We'll tell you more about the kind of masks that may help and why.
We'll also tell you where the coronavirus is most active right now in this country.
And the White House wants you to know that the strategic national stockpile of medical equipment belongs to all Americans. They're just having trouble actually saying it.
Please stay with us. We'll give you the news you need to start your weekend.
Support for NPR comes from Trello, part of the Atlassian Collaboration Suite. During these uncertain times, Trello is here to help teams work together to solve big challenges. Trello helps teams communicate, focus, and connect. Try Trello for free and learn more at Trello.com.
Let's get to that new guidance aimed at slowing the spread of the coronavirus.
The Trump administration announced last night that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now recommends wearing cloth face coverings in public settings where other social distancing measures are difficult to maintain.
Such as the grocery store, or the pharmacy, or any workplace. NPR's Allison Aubrey joins us. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning.
We know we're supposed to keep 6 feet between each other when we're out of the house. And of course,
that's right.
We've known for weeks, wash our hands. Tell us now about covering our faces.
Well, the CDC says that what scientists know now, given recent studies, is that a lot of people with coronavirus lack symptoms, or they have only mild symptoms, and they can transmit the virus. So this means if an infected person goes out and interacts in close quarters with others, they can unknowingly spread it. One person who pushed to make this change, recommending broader use of masks, is the former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb.
So if you're a person who has the coronavirus and you're mildly symptomatic, you don't think you're sick, or you're asymptomatic and don't even know that you have symptoms at all, and you have a mask on, you're going to be far less likely to transmit the infections.
Now, Allison, we know there's a shortage of masks for healthcare workers who need them.
That's right.
We're being asked to aid in what's being characterized as a war effort and put our own masks together.
You know, the CDC guidance is pretty open-ended. It says cloth face coverings fashioned from household items made from, quote, common materials at low cost can be used. And if you go online, there is no shortage of ideas of how to make these masks. You can fold them, origami masks. You can 3D print them. You can sew them. There are Burberry-inspired masks on Etsy for the fashion-minded. So, you know, there are some unanswered questions. Not all studies point to a benefit from cloth masks compared to other types of medical-grade masks. And the type of material you use probably can make a difference. A physician I spoke to yesterday pointed out that a face covering made of a knitted wool scarf where you can see the holes is probably not as protective compared to, say, a tight weave cotton fabric. So, CDC spokesperson told me they do hope to add some more details soon, and they have information on there now about how best to wear and how to clean your face coverings.
But there's a social aspect too, though, isn't there? Wearing a mask sends a message.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I spoke to Michael Klumpis. He's an infectious disease expert at Brigham and Women's Hospital. And, you know, he told me there's a symbolic power in wearing a mask. We know this virus, this pathogen, is invisible. But the mask can be a strong visual cue to remind people what we're fighting. He says to him, the message it sends is this.
Watch out. There's a public health crisis right now. There's a virus going around. We need to be on our top guard. And so I think it can actually be a reinforcer, a reminder of the state of crisis that we're facing as a society.
President Trump emphasized yesterday, this is voluntary. He volunteered that he's not volunteering. What do experts
That's
say?
Right.
Yeah. What do experts say?
The president kind of downplayed it. Some say he downplayed it, calling it voluntary, saying, do it if you want to. And a federal official told me last night that the White House kind of leaned on the CDC to emphasize that this recommendation is especially aimed at people living in hotspot areas where there are a lot of cases. But the CDC, this source tells me, really wanted to encourage all Americans everywhere to follow the guidance because the virus is present in so many areas around the country. It's not just a few hotspots. So at this point, staying socially distanced, obviously, and covering your face when you must go out into a crowded space could benefit all of us.
NPR's Allison Aubrey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.
The coronavirus has now taken more than 7,000 lives in the United States.
That number comes from Johns Hopkins University. The pandemic is hitting New York City hardest at the moment, where hundreds of people are dying every day.
And there are several other hotspots with bleak statistics. NPR's Sarah McCammon joins us now with the latest. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Lulu.
So the news out of New York just continues to be so grim. Bring us up to date on what's been happening there.
It is grim. The number of deaths continues to rise. Yesterday, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said the state had just seen its deadliest 24-hour period with close to 600 people dying from the virus in a single day.
Number of deaths, highest single increase in the number of deaths since we started, 2,300 to 2,900 deaths.
And of course, that last number is the statewide total for New York so far. The state continues to face a shortage of critical supplies, so Cuomo has signed an executive order allowing the National Guard to take ventilators and redistribute them to hospitals in need. He's also calling for more federal help with coordinating where ventilators go. And President Trump has said, he said yesterday, that New York should have more ventilators, but didn't make any specific promises.
And Sarah, as we just heard, the CDC is now recommending that Americans wear face masks in public. But many state and local officials were already saying that.
Right. I mean, as we saw with the messaging about social distancing, for instance, this is another case where some state and local leaders have been ahead of the federal government. In Los Angeles, the mayor was urging residents hours before the president did to wear any sort of mask they could find, but not the medical grade masks that are so scarce and needed by healthcare workers. Detroit's mayor, Mike Duggan, whose city has been hit really hard, had this advice yesterday.
I think at this point, anybody who is going to be within 6 feet of anybody in public should have their mouth covered. I am telling you this, if you are in a group of five or six people, somebody in that group, and it might be you, you might not be symptomatic yet, it might be you, is spreading this infection to other people. And the only way to stop it is to cover our mouths.
Governors are also weighing in. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has made a similar recommendation. Here in Virginia, where I am, Governor Ralph Northam has also encouraged the wearing of masks. And at a press conference yesterday, he promised that a state law here that forbids Virginians from obscuring their faces in public won't be enforced right now.
Washington, around Seattle, was a hot spot. Now it's New York City and the surrounding areas. Where else are we seeing this sharp rise in COVID-19 cases?
So after New York and New Jersey, we're seeing a really big spike in Michigan, concentrated around that Detroit area. Louisiana has one of the highest per capita death rates, with a concentration around New Orleans. Governor John Bel Edwards told NPR's Mary Louise Kelly yesterday that he expects to run out of ventilators as soon as next week. Wow. Louisiana has ordered 14,000 ventilators, but so far the governor says they've only received not even 600 as of yesterday. And even in places, Lulu, where we're not seeing huge numbers of cases compared to the big hotspots, more and more states are telling residents, stay home. They're getting pressure from medical groups to do that. Yesterday, Alabama's governor, Kay Ivey, issued a stay-at-home order. And the list of states that don't have these in place is growing smaller.
That's NPR's Sarah McCammon. Sarah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, there are still many questions about the federal response to the coronavirus, including what states can hope to receive from the Strategic National Medical Stockpile and when.
That, even though it's now 3 weeks since the World Health Organization officially designated the coronavirus crisis as a pandemic, and 2.5 months after the first confirmed cases in the United States.
NPR White House correspondent Tamara Keith is with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
As Allison Aubrey indicated earlier, President Trump was not exactly enthusiastic while announcing the new CDC recommendation to wear face coverings. This isn't the first time that Trump has been out of sync with public health messages coming from his own administration.
Certainly not. It goes from early on where he was insisting he would still hold campaign rallies and shake hands well after social distancing and elbow bumps were the thing to more serious matters like boosting untested treatments and floating an Easter date to get back to normal before backtracking. On the face coverings, I just want you to hear a comparison here. First, Surgeon General Jerome Adams, he talked about the recommendations, and then President Trump. Adams was explaining that there's this new research indicating people without symptoms can spread coronavirus even just by speaking.
In light of this new evidence, CDC recommends and the task force recommends wearing cloth face coverings in public settings where other social distancing measures are difficult to maintain.
You can do it. You don't have to do it. I'm choosing not to do it, but some people may want to do it, and that's okay. It may be good. Probably will. They're making a recommendation. It's only a recommendation. It's voluntary.
President Trump seemed to be going out of his way to undersell the recommendation. But people who look at crisis communications and public health say that it is really important to have a clear, concise, actionable message for the public to stay informed and engaged during this time that is very challenging and could get a lot more challenging.
Indeed. And we heard from Sarah McCammon about new hotspots popping up across the country, though New York, of course, remains the most severe. States have been begging the federal government to send protective equipment and ventilators from this national stockpile, saying that they're not getting what they need. Talk about the message from the White House in response to that, Tam.
You know, President Trump's message has veered all over the place, from saying that states are asking for more than they need and hospitals are hoarding supplies, to then reassuring states that they will get what they need, to saying states should have done a better job of preparing for themselves. And the current federal posture as relates to ventilators in the stockpile is that they are being held back and then sent out on an as urgently needed basis.
We are taking what is in the federal stockpile and we are helping states all over the country. But we also want to keep some, because when that surge comes, when you hit those peaks, we're going to need, we have to be able to have the flexibility to take those ventilators and bring them to Louisiana, New York, Detroit, different places.
The website yesterday for the Strategic National Stockpile was actually edited to redefine the role of the stockpile to be more in line with how President Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, have been describing it. The new description emphasizes that it is just there to supplement state and local supplies and is only meant to be a short-term stopgap. An administration official who would only give this statement on background said that this rewrite had been in the works for a week or so, but at least one Democratic senator is already calling for an investigation.
Switching gears, last night President Trump told Congress he is firing the intelligence community's Inspector General, Michael Atkinson. Can you remind us who Atkinson is and why this is actually very significant?
Yeah, so it feels like a decade ago. It was only 7 months ago when the whistleblower complaint first came in that ultimately set off the events that led to President Trump's impeachment. Atkinson is the inspector general for the intelligence community. That whistleblower complaint came to him. He deemed it credible and urgent and went to notify Congress, despite the Trump administration trying to block him. President Trump, in a letter to the Congressional Intelligence Committees, announced his intent to fire Atkinson, saying that he has the absolute right to do it as president and that Atkinson has lost his confidence. Democrats are expressing outrage, saying that this is an attempt by the president to gut the independence of the intelligence community. And I should note that Atkinson is not the first person to be pushed out as a result of the impeachment. Numerous people who testified against the president have either been fired, forced out, or moved into different roles.
That's NPR's Tamara Keith. Tam, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And for more on politics and the presidential campaign, if you remember that, be sure to download the NPR Politics podcast.
And that's Up First for Saturday, April 4th, 2020. I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro.
And I'm Scott Simon. Up First is back Monday with news to start your day. In the meantime, you can follow us at Up First on Twitter. Wear your masks, wash your hands, and keep your ears peeled to this podcast feed for special episodes.
And listen to us on the radio on weekend editions, Saturday and Sunday. Find your NPR station at stations.npr.org. Thank you.
Right now, every household in the country is being asked to fill out the U.S. Census. It's the form that helps us determine how voting districts are redrawn, where to build public schools and hospitals, how to spend federal money. So why are some people afraid to fill it out? We're getting into all that this week on NPR's Code Switch podcast.